When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is November 5th, 2023. The year is almost over, and we are here with Gigantic Pop number 10. I'm joined by Matt Morgan, Raj Giri. I am Glenn Rubenstein, and today we are talking about Bloodsport, WWE Crown Jewel, AEW, Ric Flair, Tony Khan's huge announcement, and everything that's going on in the world of entertainment, sports, and otherwise. Good to see you guys. Can't believe it's been a week already.
Very quickly. That went by very quick.
Yes. Yeah. As they do as we go older, get older, right?
Yes. Oh, God,
Too fast. I mean, this year alone, it's like, oh, my gosh, we're already starting to make New Year's plans. It's like, man, just felt like we just did that, you know, a few months ago.
I know. Soon it'll be 2024. So today, Raj, we gave you a lot of crap on the Wrestling Inc. podcast about the fact you'd never seen the movie The Goonies.
Right.
More glaring to the point even Baron Corbin, the lone wolf himself today, said, wait, Raj, how have you never seen Bloodsport?
Yeah, I'll admit, had no desire to see it. And saw it yesterday, and I've been missing out my whole life. I thought it was pretty great. You know, with the Goonies, when I saw it, I was like, nah, you know, I could have gone without it. But Bloodsport, you know, after the first 30 minutes with the fight sequences and everything, they still hold up. I thought it was pretty fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, Matt, what do you remember? I don't know anyone that saw Bloodsport in theaters when we were kids, but that was the home video.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. That was a rental from Blockbuster. Actually, what? Not even Blockbuster. The mom and pop video store down the street from our house.
I miss those. Remember the independent video stores? Remember when the grocery store tried to get in on the video rental action?
Of course I do. Yes. That's where my mom used to park me when she'd go food shopping. There or a ball pit, because that'd be the only way I'd go shopping with her.
And that's...
Went to Wrestling Illustrated magazine in the magazine section, because they had like tons of wrestling magazines back when we were kids too.
Yep. The Wrestler, Pro Wrestling Illustrated,
yeah.
Inside Wrestling. But you know why I probably didn't see it is this came out in 1988, and in 88 was like the peak of my fandom. I was just renting every time I went to the video store, I was wrestling videotapes. It was like all Coliseum video all the time.
Yep.
So Bloodsport is based on the true story of Frank Dukes, who talked about the secret missions he ran for the CIA and his undefeated track record of fights in the underground Kumite. I did not learn until like 5 years ago that there is no proof the Kumite ever existed, and that Frank Dukes likely made all of this up.
I think the director even said, like, the guy that backed up Frank Dukes' story later told him it was all BS, and like Frank Dukes put him up to it. So, but great story.
I remember my dad had a friend who was like a Vietnam veteran and was really into martial arts. And I remember having dinner with him, and I was like, so what do you know about this Kumite thing? And he was like, what do you mean? I don't know of the Kumite. I'm like, no, I get that it's secret, but you can tell me, what do you know about the Kumite? And I remember him just looking at me like I was crazy as I wanted to talk about like Bloodsport and this underground world of martial arts. And I was convinced it was a conspiracy, that it was so secret, even an experienced martial artist would not tell you the secrets of the Kumite.
kind of like Fight Club before there was Fight Club.
Yes. So in this movie, Jean-Claude Van Damme is going to enter this. We've got Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds as the American.
Doesn't he look like a small Braun Strowman? Right?
Oh, Matt, you're muted. Nope, still nothing from Matt. We'll figure it out. Bear with us a second, folks. Matt's going to figure that out. It was working, Matt. I don't know what happened. Maybe try holding it down.
Got it.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, there it is.
So he looks like, no, he looks like a typical, like, All Japan Gaijin wrestler from the 80s. Like, fill in the blank for a rando American that, you know, couldn't get over here, per se. I'm not making fun of them. But being brought into All Japan because they have, like, they're over 280 pounds.
And he, it's funny, like, how times have changed, because his, his first scene, or the first scene where him and Van Damme are in this same spot, he's like hitting on this girl on this bus. So I assumed he was a heel and like Van Damme was going to beat him up, but no, he was a baby face.
Yeah. Weird, right? Seeing him in that role.
But, well, especially because he was Ogre in Revenge of the Nerds. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely one of the all time bullies for movies, for our era as kids. Wait, Raj, I hear Glenn correctly earlier say that, what do you say? Lone Wolf tweeted about
Lone Wolf Baron Corbin. Yeah.
He made fun of you for not seeing this.
He did. Finally getting his shots back in, Matt. After all those years, you talked about the skinny fat and the skullet.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, everyone got to take their great shots at me. It's my turn. No, I'm just, that's awesome. But you should feel horrible about that, Raj, because, like, again, this is yet another movie where we all, like, did they just not let you out of your house? Well, what happened for you to miss all of these classics?
I think I'm almost all caught up now. Like, with Bloodsport, I think I'm almost there.
There's going to be another one Glenn throws out there. You're like, nope, never saw it.
I don't know, though, Matt. I mean, let me just pose this question. I think this is true for you and I. Would you trade Raj's bank account to erase all that pop culture from your memory?
Going to cut you off there and say absolutely.
Actually, though, I would love a sir. I mean, even aside from that, you know what the best thing ever would be right now? I don't want something that recommends movies to me. I want something that can erase movies I love from my memory so I can watch them from the first time again.
Ooh. That's a hell of an invention. Someone could ever figure it out.
Yeah, because... Total Recall style, you know?
Like eternal spotless mind.
Yeah. That would be incredible.
It would.
But no, this movie was major for so many reasons. So one, you know, this is where the idea for UFC came from. And they've kind of said as much, that this at least got the ball rolling, because we used to talk about this as a kid, like, what's better, you know, boxing, taekwondo, karate, Krav Maga. Like, there was always that argument, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I think we've learned that Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I think, is still the dominant in UFC.
That in amateur style wrestling, if you're 280 pounds, is named Brock Lesnar. Right, yeah. And then on fight day, you're at 310.
I mean, it looks very UFC-ish, so you could definitely see the inspiration for those early UFCs for sure. And I know Mirko Krokop, he kind of got into MMA because of this movie. So
one of the most lethal kickers of all time. I still think he has the most lethal kick of all time.
I forgot how impressive his kicks are. They look amazing. I mean, when I first started watching, I was like, oh my God, what have these guys gotten me into? Because every scene looks like it was done in one take with the acting. And
sometimes that's all you need, Raj.
That's the humor in most of it. But like the fight scenes were really good. And the heels were very good.
Yeah. And it reminds me of that game Punch-Out, where all the heels kind of have their own personalities.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you keep really working your way up. It's the same. If you really look at it with the tournament breakdown, it's kind of very similar. You better have seen this. I'm going to be very mad at you. Over the Top with Sylvester Stallone.
I had the soundtrack.
That's another movie we should probably cover on this show.
But did you ever turn your hat around when you were doing arm wrestling? You know,
I swear on the Holy Bible, yes. As a kid, yes.
And I always like how this was the special.
I did
move.
That too, guys. Remember, I told you before I was about to fight my friend Josh Schultz. I put a Jake the Snake Roberts and Brutus Beefcake figure in his frigging locker so it'd fall out on him. I'm like, that was coming to you. Sleeper hole DDT after school. So if I'm doing crap like that to get in kids' heads, you don't think I'm doing this during the card wrestling, like over the top? Hell yeah.
There was so much shit we believed as kids. I was seeing a Reddit post the other day. Somebody found a backpack with like a bunch of coffee beans in it. And it was like, oh, they were trying to smuggle drugs because they saw Beverly Hills Cop and they thought coffee would mask like the smell of the drugs. I mean, we thought that as a kid. Apparently it doesn't. Everyone, because of Die Hard 2, everyone thought Glocks could defeat metal detectors because they were made of porcelain.
Really quick, no offense. Yeah. Your childhood's a hell of a lot smarter than my childhood, because my childhood, all that, those last two things would have stumped me. I would have no curiosity whatsoever or knowledge that those were two real things.
Okay, well those are, I mean, they're not, but yeah, people thought they were. but here's the two also we believe. If you break somebody's neck, they'll die in a fight. Or if you hit them in the nose because of a fire starter, you'll shove the bone up into their brain and they'll die.
Yeah. Is that not true?
I mean, yes. Is it?
If you do that punch.
How often do you hear?
Like, but Matt, like Bruce Willis did it in Last Boy Scout.
Okay, here's my question. Our entire lives, Matt, you live in Florida. A lot of crazy headlines come out of there. I never see a headline that says somebody killed somebody in a fight by hitting them in the nose and shoving their nose bone up into their brain and killing them.
Stay tuned. I'll be your hashtag Florida man tonight.
When I was in Florida last year, there was a news story about this woman trying to kill her husband with a frozen squirrel. So...
there we go. Yeah. That sounds Florida. Okay. Florida.
But I'm saying for movies, we thought a lot of things that we had a lot of, it was like the John Mulaney bit about quicksand. We all thought quicksand was going to be, you know, one in 10 chance. That's how you were going to go, was in quicksand. There was a lot of stuff, you know, that we saw growing up as kids that we were afraid of. Right. Yes. I mean, I still won't swim in the ocean because I'm convinced a shark is going to get me.
Yes.
But so with Bloodsport, yeah, I mean, you would see those fights. And when the UFC came out, that when someone was telling me about UFC, my first question was like, well, how are they going to deal if somebody like dies in the ring? Because it isn't to the death. And they were like, no. And I was like, well, that's not as interesting then. Although, but with UFC, that was the expectation. And I would still like to see, somebody should do, somebody should really try and do a Lucha Underground style show where it's like wrestling meets blood sport. Like, I would watch the hell out of that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Yeah, that would actually be pretty awesome.
Yeah. But, you know, this movie is also the reason, in addition to UFC, it's also the reason we have the video game series Mortal Kombat. They originally wanted to make a Jean-Claude Van Damme game. He had his rights signed with Sega at the time for a game that never came out. And that's why Johnny Cage is essentially Jean-Claude Van Damme originally in Mortal Kombat.
Wow.
That's a great call, Glenn. I forgot about that. And what a instant classic back when we were kids, that game. That's the game that you'd go to any restaurant, even if you hated the fast food restaurant and didn't really want the food in it. You would go there because it had that video game, Mortal Kombat, there.
Yeah. I mean, it's still huge today. And remember WCW, they had their Mortal Kombat crew. It was called Blood Runs Cold. You had like Glacier and you tried like a...
And then what's his...
Mortis.
Who else? And then they had, what's his name? He was part of, just say it, Glenn. You want Raw Underground back from Veggie Gamer. Veggie Gamer, nobody wants Raw Underground back except for Shane McMahon somewhere.
If it had been like Bloodsport, it would have been awesome.
Yeah, it would have been. Adam Bomb, who did he play in WCW as one of those masked characters?
Oh, yeah, he was one of the guys. Wrath.
His name. Wrath. It was those three.
Yeah. And it's come full circle now because Jean-Claude Van Damme's a downloadable character skin for Johnny Cage in the latest Mortal Kombat. Veggie Gamer's reminding me. So, but the thing with Mortal Kombat, we should talk about this a second. I mean, Matt, do you remember what a big deal it was that there'd be like the one kid that knew all the moves to do all the fatalities, you know? And that's why people used to read video game magazines. They just wanted to know, like, how do I like rip somebody's spine out or something like that? That was the big secret knowledge of video games back in the early 90s.
It definitely was. It really, really was. Yeah. And like before, like you started looking at, as a bigger guy, you definitely started looking at some of the smaller kids very differently. If they told you they knew karate. I mean, dead serious. In the back of my head, like, oh my God, he really destroyed me. He knows karate. If he hits me with a crane kick, I'm done.
That's what I should have done, is just told all these bullies I knew karate.
Didn't work for Daniel LaRusso. Although, Matt, I've asked this before, given how big Street Fighter 2 was, how were you never Zangief for one Halloween? How did that never happen in the 90s or 2000s once you got big?
I it's too cool to be dressing up for Halloween at that point, I'm thinking, you know.
I tell you, if there's a reboot, you can get on that short list, though. You could be like, I'll get a mohawk. I'll do it.
I'm telling you, all this Mortal Kombat talk, you know, I have a PS5 that's just collecting dust. I think I might get the newest one.
Have you tried to play the new ones that are 3D? It's much more complicated, though.
Oh, just in general, games are so complicated. There's buttons all over the place now. And
yeah. So they're coming out. Modern Warfare is coming out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Modern Warfare 3. So I am actually going to reboot and re-plug in my PlayStation so I can play it.
I've been playing Spider-Man 2 that just came out.
Oh, that looks amazing.
It is, but I just want to swing around. I don't want to have to do all these missions. No, you can, but everywhere you go, it's like I want to turn off the mission reminders because I'm happy. I'm content just to swing through New York.
Can you do open world on it?
Yeah, it's open world.
Okay. Hey.
Yeah.
That's a win.
Yeah.
See, the problem I have is anytime I get a game for the PS5, first I turn on the PS5, it needs to update.
Yeah.
Then the game needs to download. Yes. Then it's like an hour, and I'm like, forget it. You know.
But some of these games are worth it. I think Modern Warfare is going to be worth it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 2 is good, huh?
Spider-Man 2 is really good.
An old person?
Yeah, I mean, it looks really good. You can also set it so you have to do minimal stuff.
Okay.
And you could just swing around and like watch the story.
So because I don't have like normal TV channels anymore, we watch it on a Roku stick. Mm. I don't see commercials really. Somehow I saw a commercial. I still don't know how. Falling asleep last night, I saw the Spider-Man 2 commercial. I was like, that friggin' looks awesome.
Yeah, it's very well done. It looks very good. I loaded that up. I loaded up Fortnite last night. It shows how old we're getting. Fortnite now is bringing, like, they have an OG Fortnite. They're taking it back to 2018, the original island. And I'm like, it's been that long that Fortnite's doing a retro thing of itself right now. Wow. Very strange.
It's a little too soon. It's going to sell out like crazy, obviously, because everyone loves Fortnite. But it's still a little soon, right? What is that, 6 years?
Yeah, you know what's crazy though in Fortnite? So we've got John Cena, Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair so far. They're skins. There's a John Cena skin you can buy.
What?
You could buy Becky Lynch, you could buy Bianca Belair.
Do they get any money from that?
It's probably adjusted against their downside guarantee, right? Yeah.
I hope they do, because that's pretty damn cool. And that's a popular ass game. So hopefully they get paid on that.
Yeah. But yeah, man, so with Bloodsport, this was a home video movie when it first came out. I remember every sleepover, I probably saw this 5 or 6 times, and then it's never left cable. I'm still flipping around cable now, and it's like on HBO or Stars or Cinemax. Like, they still show this all the time. It's never gone away.
I mean, the amount of money they made on this, it cost like what, like $1.5 million to make, and it made like $50 million at the box office. And I'm sure it's making just a ton with these repeats that they're doing. So kudos to them. I mean, it was the most profitable movie that the studio had ever done up until that point.
And then Van Damme went on from this to Cyborg, which I saw in theaters. That was the first Van Damme movie. I might have even seen that before this.
Was he? Because Jean-Claude Van Damme is kind of dressed like Debbie Gibson this whole movie when he's not fighting.
That's the style of the time.
I guess so. It's a little distracting.
But I think he's. I know you talk about the acting, but I actually think it makes him more likable in this. He's more believable because he didn't have. He got so cocky in his roles, and all of it, like everything, blended together. After this, up until probably Time Cop. I still think Time Cop is his best movie.
What?
Have you watched Time Cop recently?
More than Universal Soldier?
The first Universal Soldier is not great. I
liked it.
With respect, none of his movies are his best movies. It comes down to which is the more, what's the word I'm looking for? The movie that we laugh at, not for the reasons they intended.
Okay,
even Bloodsport with his terrible acting was hilarious.
Okay, let me rephrase. Time Cop is the best movie he is in. Like, you could have put anyone in that role. He only does the splits once. He's like, he's just there. But Time Cop is like, I'm a mark for any movie about time travel.
Sure,
Time Cop is really, really a good movie.
Okay, I'm with you on that. Time travel special. Yeah,
I haven't seen it.
That's actually even more shocking than Bloodsport, just because it was so popular in like 1995 or 96 when it came out. Mm-hmm. You like time travel movies.
I do. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, never saw that one. The only Van Damme movies I'd seen before this were Universal Soldier and Double Impact.
I mean, Kickboxer is like Bloodsport light.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as good.
It is. I agree.
They remade it though with Batista as the bad guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like 2016. That was one of Batista's like earlier roles.
It's another movie I was supposed to be in.
Really? Wait, tell me that story.
Because they started for that before 2016, if I remember correctly, because I was still wrestling.
Yeah. That's interesting. That would be, Matt, that would be fascinating. Like, what you I know there's some you can't talk about that you've told me, like, off the air, but is there anything else, like, notable that, like, you went up for where they were just seeing, like, wrestlers and big guys that could act?
I'll think about it when we're off air. Like, I'll pop in my head. Like, for instance, the one you just said, I would not in 1,000 years have remembered that unless you just jogged.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I remember during your season of Tough Enough, Hawk.
What
he got to audition for Colossus in X-Men 2.
See, now this is where I think rumors run amok. Oh, yeah, X-Men 2. Okay, fine.
That's back in, like, 2002, 2003.
Which, God bless him, you know. I don't know how it's going, but I don't know how the hell they saw that. That guy doesn't.
Well, he didn't get it.
Muscle on their body.
Yes, and as Tom McCoskey's pointing out, Jean-Claude Van Damme was in the first break-in movie.
Was he?
Along with Ice-T. Yeah. He's just in the background.
Uh-oh. I'm going to have to break this to you guys. I have not seen Break-In.
Okay, Break-In isn't the one you have to see. Break-In 2 Electric Boogaloo is the one to watch.
We'll give you a half a pass with that one.
Yeah. Have you seen Break-In 2?
No.
Oh, Break-In 2.
None of the Break-Ins.
Break-In 2 is a fun movie.
No pass, more importantly, for that. How have you not seen that? It was on every day on HBO during our summer break. How did you not see it? It's on every single day.
Because I love the title. I know when it came out, but yeah, just never got around to seeing that one.
So you didn't try to break dance when you were a kid?
No, he did. He had to stop because he was going to break his neck. And if you break your neck, you die.
Yeah, the Alfonso Ribeiro rumor.
But this movie, like, had everything in it that rated a tight of breakdancing.
I can't explain it. I don't know why I missed it. I love breakdancing.
Did your parents have cable? Did you guys have cable when you were little? Little?
No. We got it later. Like, 85, I think, is when we got it.
That's when we got it.
But that's when Break-In was out. But yeah, it was never on that I saw.
Interesting. Do you remember, Matt, and I ask you because you had a more normal childhood like mine as opposed to Raj, who was sheltered. do you remember the weird territoriality, though, that kids would have at the schoolyard? Because I remember kids almost getting in a fight over what was better, Break-In or Beat Street.
Yes. Oh, God, yes. Yeah, oh, yes. My school, we had to be a complete loser here. We made gangs. I'm talking kindergarten. We're in kindergarten, Glenn. Kindergarten. It was Blue Devils versus Red Devils. I can't make this crap up. So I was in one. And I remember I came to school. Remember you could buy like the Mr. T stuff because he was so over?
Yeah.
Like his fake chains, his headband, his wristbands. I would put that on at recess and try to be like Mr. T. I think I was cool running around with the Blue Devils.
I mean, I don't know. I've told this story before, but later when I was like 14, I shaved lines on my eyebrow like Vanilla Ice.
Oh,
so I
did that. Yeah. I definitely did that. Yeah.
We were easily influenced in the suburbs.
Yes. Oh, God. Yeah. Yes.
So weird. That reminds me, Paramount last week came out with a Milli Vanilli documentary.
Yeah.
It's about time.
Yeah.
I saw this. It was one of those like Behind the Music, like way back in the day.
That was the first one.
It was on Milli Vanilli. And at the end, they're like, yeah, Milli Vanilli, they're back together. They've got their life back together. And he, like, it left on a powerful note. And then it goes, oh, in an update, you know,
Rob
Vanilli died.
Passed away. Fabrice is in the new documentary. They've got a ton of archive footage of Rob. There's a fictionalized version coming out, like an actual biopic, but this is on Paramount Plus. Very good. It's 2 hours long. And I swear to God, I'm like, so such a mark for this, but I was crying at the end, like misty eyed, wiping away the tears because they show Fabrice at a concert, actually singing Blame It on the Rain to a big crowd. And he sounds beautiful. And I'm just like, what a triumphant moment after 30 years of hell and people giving him shit. Like, no, this guy can really sing now. He's out there and he's drawing these big crowds. It was very nice, but I highly recommend that documentary if you want a little more nostalgia from the late 80s, early 90s. And those songs are still bangers. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah.
Just real quick, I'm going to answer this question real quick. J.R. Smith is asking, in one of the early episodes, you mentioned an investment fund you started for your daughter that she increased her contributions to. What was it called? It's an S&P 500 index mutual fund through Fidelity, and it's FXAIX. So you want to check that out.
Absolutely. Man. Yeah. I mean, I was talking to my nephew about that same thing. I was like, put away $20 a week now out of your paycheck. Do something. Yeah. Like, cause in 30
years, get started.
Cause I didn't do that. I sure as hell didn't do that. People told me to do that when I was in my 20s. And I was like, shut up, old man. Right. I'm going to buy a new car stereo where the face removes and there's LEDs that light up. That's what I'm going to do with my paycheck. Fuck investing.
Yeah. Oh,
I bought the stupidest shit in my 20s.
Oh, didn't we all?
Yeah. And the problem is, if you like tech,
black lights
where your dispenser's gifts. Right, I'm going to get this foam that looks like poop. It's going to be incredible.
Yes, we used to have that.
How is Spencer's
like the glow in the dark goos and just so much crap.
Spencer's Gifts is still in every mall. Walden Books, The Warehouse, Tower Records, Musicland, Sam Goody, all that stuff went out of business. Suncoast, Spencer's Gifts still lives on. I think they sell sex toys now also. The last time I went in there, I was just like, this is what it's turned into.
I remember in the 90s, that's where you go get wrestling shirts. Like they always had the
pre-Hot Topic
DX. Yep.
Yeah. Speaking of wrestling, I want to talk a little bit about Crown Jewel, which I did not watch, but I read about it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, I think a couple things stood out. You know, Roman Reigns beat LA Knight, which we knew, but I thought it was one of LA Knight's best matches. Roman really made him look like LA Knight looked like he belonged, did not look out of place. His first, huge stage main event.
Roman, finish your thought. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I thought he looked great.
He did. He let him kick out of his finishers too, which I thought was big. Most world champions, especially ones that have been the champion for more than 3 years now, pretty picky about who they let kick out of their finishers, even in today's wrestling, believe it or not. So I thought that said a lot that Roman let him do that. And he had his out. He had his out with, Jimmy Uso getting in the way and screwing things up at the end, because we had our visual false finish of him pinning him with his, I'm sorry, of LA Knight pinning Roman Reigns with his finisher. So that was good too. They didn't have to do that, and they did. It still was a short match, though. If you go back to like most of Roman's main event matches that are on pay-per-view, those things are damn near an hour.
Yeah,
like they're like 45 minutes. This one was like 30 minutes,
which probably to the benefit, because that Jey Uso match at SummerSlam was way too long, and I think I think they took the cue from that and didn't try to do that again. Justin Toner saying Roman versus LA Knight was quite good. Just tired of the formula of bloodline interference. Yeah. It's old, and they overdo that.
Okay, hear me out though. So wait, here's what I was thinking: how they can get out of it. Would have pissed people off, but I think it pissed them off less. They could have done a double count out there when Roman speared him through the thing, through the wall. I was hoping they were going to go with that, so he can kind of have like a moral victory coming out of that. Your top baby, or one of your top, definitely your top baby face on SmackDown right now. Being able to talk about it afterwards, because he's not going to win the title until they're ready to pull it off Roman and put it on Cody, obviously. Unless, like you said, Raj, he works with Seth Rollins, which I think would be great for him.
Yeah. And I understood why they did the interference in this. I felt like in this case, it was warranted, but you didn't need to do it in his matches with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Where it's redundant.
Yeah. Jey Uso, he can get some clean wins here and there. And just to do it every match, it's just way, way overdone.
Yeah, I agree. Also on that show, I thought it was good. Logan Paul winning the U.S. Championship against Rey Mysterio and saving Rey's ass. Rey Mysterio, when at one point in the match, jumped off the second rope to do a moonsault. And Logan was a little bit too far away on it, but he caught him at the nick of time. Went down to his knees, still holding Ray in what looks like a tombstone position, but kept him from spiking his neck and his head on the mat upside down, and then went back up and put him on his shoulder and did a running power slam, which was inaudible. That was not what that move was supposed to be originally.
Ray's head was like inches from hitting the mat. He got it right in the nick of time.
Am I trying to overemphasize this or over exaggerate rather, but like that's an easily a paralyzable move that could have went awry. I'm being dead serious. He would have spiked himself square on top of his head in the middle of that mat.
Yeah.
If he didn't catch him the way he did. And he went down on two of his bad knees. One of his bad knees he just screwed up versus Roman Reigns last year at, ironically, Crown Jewel. Remember, he had to have surgery on his knee.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He being Logan Paul. So the fact that he went down on his knees to make sure he caught his partner in the ring is huge to any old school wrestler that watched that match and said, okay, this dude's definitely one of us. He put his body in front of his partner, his dancing partner's health. And not only that, he was quick enough on the fly to give him a running Davey Boy power slam, which was not what that was supposed to be. Again, that was supposed to be an offensive move by Ray Ray. So very, very impressive by Logan Paul. He wins a U.S. title. Definitely agree with that for all the obvious reasons, right? He's a great heel. Everybody hates him. And he's all over social media every time you turn it on.
He is, you know, so many people are like, well, yeah, he's good. He gets to rehearse his matches. Like, that's not it. You know, it takes way more than just rehearsing your matches. And who cares if he does?
But especially the athleticism part. Like, the stuff I just explained and what I saw. I'm telling you guys, none of us at that stage in our career could have been smart enough and comfortable enough to not only save our opponent in the ring, but then ad-lib like that in transition to a completely different move that you weren't supposed to be doing.
Right.
Oh, he's very good.
And beyond the moves, the stuff he does in the middle, playing to the crowd, getting that heel heat, the timing, like just carrying himself like a star in that ring. Those are things that, you know, he's been doing since his first match. It's just insane how he gets it. It's like just he's just a natural. He's amazing. The one thing that was unfortunate is they came on like after the John Cena match.
Yes,
and the crowd was so deflated after Cena got killed by Solo Sikoa that they were dead for the next two matches.
I don't. So when they're at Crown Jewel, I don't consider that real fans. I'm just being honest. Like they're not. No, meaning like they're. I don't feel like they're watching. Like, did you see like the papered LA Knight? Obvious WWE handed them out in the audience tonight to hold up LA Knight. Printer paper basically is what it looked like. There's like hundreds of them doing it. Like, so these are people minding their own business, having a good time and saying, oh crap, WWE's coming here. I'm going to get a ticket to that. And then they go watch and they go crazy, watch it and have fun, watch it. But they're not as emotionally invested in it. And by the, like it is here, it's not even close.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is like, if somebody's not over when they're over there in Saudi, I don't really put any thought into it, nor do I care.
Yeah.
But they were hot for like the first match. And when John Cena came out, they were really hot. And then he got killed.
It's like a house show. It's a house show. Wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, and Cena wins at house shows.
Yeah.
You know, they beat Cena so often that I feel like it doesn't elevate anyone now when they beat Cena.
Really?
Because, maybe because it was so dominant, but
it was like, good because they've been beating him too much. Sikoa with LA Knight and others. I'm happy he beat Cena tonight.
Yeah. But Austin Theory, like he didn't really get elevated by beating Cena. I feel like Cena needs a couple wins, so when he gets beaten, it means something.
Mm. Didn't he get one on his first one-on-one match in SmackDown in the last 10 years or something like that? Didn't he win that one-on-one match and they made a big deal about it? It was his first win in a one-on-one match on SmackDown television. It was just like 2 months ago or a month ago.
I think it was a tag match.
Yeah,
I mean, he had that tag match with LA.
It was
before or after that, and he had to wrestle one of the Usos one-on-one. I'm not remembering it, but go ahead and continue.
Somebody tweeted at me, and this is notable to people that have followed my criticism of this over the years. Sami Zayn finally won with the Blue Thunderbomb as his finisher. I still think that's a badass move. The Helluva Kick is
dumb. Hell yeah.
And I say that as a major Sami Zayn fan, the Helluva Kick is dumb. Blue Thunderbomb looks incredible.
It's not dumb, but it's not as impressive as the Blue. Yeah, you're right. The Blue Thunder is much better, more impressive move.
Yeah. So that is a big deal. Drew McIntyre lost. Is he re-signing with WWE, do you think?
I mean, this is the hottest I think he's been since he's been with the company. And so I think I would hope that they try. His contract's reportedly up before WrestleMania. So early April, late March is what it looks like. And I mean, I'd do everything I could to keep him because he is just, I feel like he is on the best run of his career right now. His character is so believable. And at Crown Jewel, and Matt, I know you've noted how the crowd, you can't really, you don't know how, if the U.S. crowd is going to be the same, but they were totally for Drew. And by the end, like they were quiet when Seth hit the curb stomp.
Do you see what I'm saying though? Like that's what I mean. I don't think they're rabid Drew fans. I just think they see a big, tall, good looking, jacked guy and some weird dude coming out. Like, again, I don't think they're watching the show week by week. Not all the fans. Okay. I'm sure there's diehards in the audience. Sure. But for the bigger part of the audience, I don't think. I think they're casuals.
Could you see fans turning on Seth though, with his cackling and the crazy outfits? And
not in our society in America in 2023 now.
Okay.
Unless he cheats. If he cheats, and then starts being Dickie Seth, yes. But if not, and he's just coming out wearing the weird suits and his cackling and his weird stuff, they just want to come sing his dumb song, dude.
Yeah, but I think it's too boring to have the two main championships, the main championship on each brand, just be on lock for this long.
Do we think Seth, it's not going to be on lock with Seth? I think when I see like even Drew in the ring with him tonight, like at any given point when he's in there with somebody of equal value, I can see him losing it.
Yeah,
at least more than Roman.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they're going to do a rematch at probably Survivor Series or something.
So. I do not want to see Drew beat him for it, by the way.
No. I think what if you have Drew beat him and then you have LA Knight versus Drew at WrestleMania?
It's not as good of a match for LA Knight. If we're real LA Knight fans here, we want to see him do his best, right? We want him working Seth Rollins, dude. He puts on amazing matches for his opponent.
So as Veggie Gamer, we were going to talk about Ric Flair and All Elite. Veggie Gamer saying now that Ric Flair's All Elite, Cena's going to break Ric Flair's record.
Can't see that.
Not with Charlotte Flair still wrestling for them and still being box office for them.
She's going to break the record.
She should be the one to break the record.
But yeah, Cena's going back to Hollywood, you know, once the SAG strike's over. And it sounded like they were making progress. So I don't think he's going to be in WWE much longer. If maybe that was his last match, who knows?
So can I say about Veggie Gamer brought it up about Ric Flair signing with AEW? Mm-hmm. I'm sure everybody's heard that by now. I mean, just real quick, I'm shocked that he was even free to be able to sign with AEW because. If I'm WWE, I'm locking up Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair. They can't go wrestle anywhere else. They can't show up on my competitor's programming. I'm just going to pay them money to stay home because those are our legends. If I'm WWE, you're our legends, especially Hulk Hogan. You cut your teeth with us. We own you. You know what I mean? So to speak. Right. And I say that tongue in cheek. I don't mean that in sincerity, but like... Right. They're legends. They're the two biggest legends of all time. I would sign them any which way I can, have them make appearances here or there as much or less as you want, but I damn sure not going to let them go to my competition. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, he's not. Look, like I said, when I was with TNA, when Hulk Hogan came in, Ric Flair came in, Hardy, RVD, you've heard me say this a 100 times, right? It didn't boost the ratings, but like some decimal point, a few decimal points, right? Mm-hmm. We were constantly doing a 1.1, 1.2, and went to a 1.4 with Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, and all the aforementioned names. So do I think Ric Flair going to AEW is going to like boost their ratings? No, of course not. But do I think if half that locker room smart enough to pick his brain, if he's going to be there at TV, pick the dude's brain. He wants to help people. He wants to teach. Mm-hmm. He wants to pass his wisdom on. I think you can use him that way. I don't think he's going to be an agent or anything along the lines, but I could see him being speaking parts and like what we've seen lately. You know, the only thing I'd be careful with Rick is, will he be down to go with what you want him to say in a promo? If you're not Vince and you're not WWE, Rick can go off, you know, what was written for him or what was not. Nothing's ever written for him, but what he was supposed to say, right? And it's funny when he does, usually. It's usually really good, funny stuff, like the stuff with him and Jay Lethal going back and forth. That was hilarious.
Yeah. And what you mentioned with Flair, the episode he was on, not the last one, but the week before, it was actually the lowest rating they did all year. It's the lowest, it's least watched episodes, and down 25% from the year before. So I almost feel like AEW's overdoing the legends. You know, they got with Edge and Christian and Jerry. They've just got so many now that some of their own guys are kind of getting, you know, lost in the shuffle a little bit.
Yeah, Kenny Omega should be a much bigger deal. You know, what did you say, Glenn? Sorry.
I was going to say, it also seems that it's antithetical to when Being the Elite started. The Bucks and Kenny, they used to make fun of stuff like this. Mm-hmm. Of like, oh, we're bringing in all these old guys. Yeah. It feels like this is a little bit like punk rock band signing out and signing with a major label. It's just really changed. And I think that's why, I mean, there's backlash from the fans on that. To your point about WWE, even if they paid him and they sat home, because certainly Rick had some resurfaced controversies in Dark Side of the Ring. The thing that I think is weird about it and is a bit hypocritical is that TK was like calling out Vince for all the things he's been accused of and, the court stuff. And then he signs Rick, who's got the same, a similar baggage in a lot of ways. And it just seems strange. You know, but it's still insane. Yeah, it's shows that Tony's a hypocrite by signing Rick if he's gonna. And Tony's dismissed a lot of people for similar allegations in the past. Mm-hmm. Can't even remember the dude's name. Yeah, but there was a few. There was a few people that got let go from AEW over some allegations. So it's just odd. But I think that Tony Khan. What I think this is all showing us is he's like, there's, you know, it's like with the Marvel movies, people are like, oh, Marvel has this master plan. It's like WWE has a master plan. AEW doesn't have a master plan. Tony keeps changing based on where he's at from month to month with a lot of this, it seems like.
AEW's been getting a lot of flack, especially this week. I didn't think the last episode of Dynamite was that bad, but apparently people were just really hating on it. And it does feel like they need to kind of get their ducks back in a row. It feels like
they got to go back. What brought them? I hate to say what brought them to the dance, right? But what they started with, the nucleus of those young guys that were young, exciting to watch. They weren't household names yet. So who doesn't want to get behind their favorite rock band that nobody's really heard of yet? And you want to be the one to go spread it to all your friends, right? That's what AEW was. And they're losing that. You know, I know you can mix and match both. TNA tried to do it as well, but TNA lost its luster doing it too much and overkill by bringing all those old guys in. You know what I mean? So there has to be a happy medium there somewhere. I think they did have it there for a minute, but then they just let too many in, way too many in.
Yeah. You look at where they were in 2021 and they were just hot, you know, that summer, that fall. I mean, they look like, you know, Chris Jericho. I remember when he said, we're going to be beating Raw in 3 months. And it's like the 18-49 ratings weren't all that off. But now the gap is just so wide now.
Dude, every segment was banging on that show. Like they had my total attention from beginning of that show to the end of the show. Like I wasn't clicking around. Like I loved that show.
Yeah. And they have the talent. They could definitely get back there. They just need to, I don't know. I know Edge and Christian, that's such a natural feud, but you know, again, it just comes across as a WWE rehash.
We're probably not going to get turnaround time fast enough here, but I just want to put it out there to any fans that are watching this right now. As far as do you guys really prefer MJF as a babyface, or would you rather see him as a heel? Just, I'm very, very curious about that because he's killing it, obviously.
Yeah.
Right. He's just showing what a great actor he is, and his chops are just enormous, right? He can pull off anything you throw to him, basically. He's proven. But I still want to see him back. I shouldn't be contaminating my own question I asked the fans, but I'm going to.
But Matt,
I'm with you.
It should be like that documentary, the MJF documentary that came out those years ago. You keep baby facing it. And then there should be some big reveal, like all the stuff should be talking about, doing charity work with sick kids, all these things. And it should come out that it was all staged.
That was such a great show. What do you call it again? A documentary.
A documentary, yeah.
Great documentary.
Yeah. That's what it should be, though. He should super babyface, and then it should all be a lie.
Yes. I'm waiting for that shoe to drop. I've been waiting for it. But now I think they've got to run with him as face. I think everybody thinks they have to do it now. But go ahead.
Oh, I was going to just say, like, right now it's a baby face. They also kind of make him look like a dork a lot. Like, you know, when he's backstage on The Last Dynamite trying to get tag partners and everyone's rejecting him. And he's like, you know, like.
It's way too early for that. Like, that should be something 4 years, 5 years from now. He still needs. I just think you need to be the dicky heel he's been. He's so entertaining doing it.
Yeah.
Fans are still going to pay money to see him because he's so good at being a dick.
Yeah.
And more Roddy Piper, less Miz is what I'd like to see from him, you know.
It'll be interesting. NXT's still been pretty good, although this last week Halloween Havoc part two was not good as part one. Like Carmelo versus Dragunov was good. Trick Williams came back, caused a distraction. Baron Corbin attacked Dragunov backstage. Like, there were some good moments, but it was nowhere near as fun as part one with Chase Yu winning the tag titles. We'll see what they're gonna do with the women's division.
Why do you like this Chase Yu so much?
It's just a fun gimmick. Remember, I think, so when it started, it was fun because what he was doing was like Sam Kinison and Back to School. It was just Andre Chase just yelling at his students and losing his shit every week in promos. But it's a fun gimmick. The crowd gets into it. They chant along. It's a very NXT gimmick. Back to like SAWFT soft. It's something the whole crowd gets behind. Everyone has fun with it. And they've been telling a good story with Thea Hale, who was like the star student, now hanging out with JC Jane, who's the bad influence. And I think they're going to do like a My Fair Lady thing with JC Jane, where Andre Chase tries to get her to straighten up and fly right. Like, remember, dude, this is a TV show that features wrestling. It's a fun show.
Do you see that gimmick working on the main roster, though?
I think...
Because ultimately, isn't that the whole point, is to create
it's a shame these that's the whole that point, Raj. No, it could work on the main roster. I think the audience could get involved in it. It'll be a whole thing. But I think that Tony D'Angelo is a better main roster gimmick. I think there's some stuff that's going to translate better. But, dude, the tag division is fucked on the main roster right now. As long as those belts are unified, like, the tag division is pointless because you can really only feature two teams.
Splitting them up just makes them mean less. I think it's I think they should unify all the titles again. I think having two world titles kind of sucks.
They don't like telling stories that don't involve titles.
That's always been the case with tag titles. Even if you split them up, it's still going to be the same thing. You're going to have one tag feud on each show.
I still think NXT is fun, man. Like, I'm never bored when I watch that show. They cram 20 segments into 2 hours, where SmackDown does like 8. You know, and Raw somehow has 3 hours. It feels hours.
Maybe I'll go back and try to watch it again.
You know, and Matt, and you're, it's funny. Cause I mean, dude, like, you look at the live crowd there. If I lived closer, I would absolutely go to NXT tapings. Like, the ones I've been to were so much fun.
Okay.
Even the house show loop is fun. I like watching talent that, I mean, dude, it's the same reason why AEW was so much fun for the first year. It was constant, just new. Every week it was like, I mean, dude, people in AEW pop for Too Fast, Too Fuego. Like, when you're constantly changing it up, when it's a variety show, you know, I think that's when it's a lot of fun.
Okay. Yeah. I did want to ask you, Matt, I wanted to ask both of you. Tony Khan earlier this week, last week, was once again hyping an important announcement before the show. He said it's going to be a huge announcement coming up on the show. Made the announcement. It was that the All-In pre-sale starts now and tickets go on sale next month. So that was a big announcement. And they've just been gradually getting worse and worse and worse to where now they've kind of become a self-parody a little bit.
Yeah, it's Michael Scott. It's like, well, what do you think the announcement's going to be?
So let me say this. If this was my company, and ticket sales are not what they've been, right? Especially when they double back to the past town they've been to, right? We've seen a decrease in their ticket sales. So if that's the case, like, wouldn't I want to hype up this so everybody's not talking about it, but at least it's right out there in front of everybody? And it's no, I can't even say that. I can't even finish saying that and be honest and have a straight face and say, hey, I can't. No, you're right. He is the boy's cried wolf with all these multitudes of different huge big announcements. Then they've always, my favorite word, Glenn, decrescendoed along the way.
Yeah, it's one thing. I mean, it's great to promote, you know, promote All In, be like, yeah, we're going to announce All In tickets, ticket details tonight on Dynamite, you know, tune in. But when you build it up like that, you lose the faith of your fans.
I agree with that. You do. And I'm trying to find a way to defend them here because I want AEW to do good. We can't keep I want people to keep crapping on them because, like, as a wrestler, like, I would have killed to have another place to go wrestle and actually pay the kind of money AEW pays today. Are you kidding me? No. You know what I mean? So I just, like, try to keep it with a proper scope of knowing a lot of, you know, my friends are toward the end of the career now but are still wrestling. And wrestling in general needs that damn competition. Even if WWE doesn't think it's competition, there's still things from AEW they've taken with how they've shot things I've seen in other things. So it's just, it can only make the business better, right? So that's why I know everyone gets pissed and like, well, this is why we're saying this, because we want it to be better, Matt. So if we point this out, maybe they'll turn things around and they won't do these stupid things anymore. Maybe. I hope so. I do. I just don't know what they're going to do, though, with a roster with all of these older guys now, where they have all these young studs, stars, like that should be stars, I should say. Because they all should have been matched up with an Edge. Like, Edge should not be in there with Christian. Edge should be in there with friggin', what's his name?
Jay White or someone like that.
Yeah. Pick any of them, you know? Yeah, those types of matchups is what they should be doing with these the so-called quote-unquote more established talent from WWE.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and have your AEW guys, by the way, beat them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. I mean, the problem, you know what the problem is, and WWE suffers from this all the time. If people want to talk more about what's going on behind the scenes and what's going on camera.
Yeah.
Like, that's not good attention. No. Yes, it captures the imagination, but not in a good way.
Right. You're right.
Yep.
You know? Yep. And WWE's kind of finally coming out of that. Like, okay, now Vince isn't involved in creative endeavors.
They're writing good stuff. Whoever's writing their stuff, I have no clue. I just know it's been better these last, I'd say, year and a half. Whenever Bloodline started with Sami Zayn is when I really noticed, wow. Like, this is getting better.
I feel like SmackDown has been a lot better. I feel like Raw has just been the same show every week. It's the Judgment Day versus Sammy, Cody, and Jay. You know, some variation of that.
Can we say this, though, really quick? I mean to cut you off, but real quick, Raj. When Judgment Day first started, I did not think it was going anywhere. I was like, they're a bunch of, no disrespect to them, Rhea Ripley and a bunch of mid-carders, essentially. But look what they've done with that.
Yeah.
Dom? You guys do not remember where Dom was tagging with his dad?
He's great. Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? None of us predicted he was going to have this kind of heat. Are you kidding me? None of us could come with a country mile predicting that back then when he was still babyface tag teaming with his dad, right? And then you have Rhea, which we always knew was going to be the stud star of the group, of course. But Damian Priest was the guy that we could see the potential in, but hasn't hit it yet, right? But, like, my point is they're on so much because they're trying to do what they did with Bloodline, right? Ramming us over the head with the branding hammer, branding of that group for us to take them seriously. And I think everyone now does. I think everyone does really look at that group, especially with their interactions with Bloodline. You know, real gangster as hell, like manipulating and wheeling and dealing with Roman and the Bloodline. And like, I thought like she jumped like five levels off of that. Honestly, I really do.
How are we not getting that?
She looked like bigger stars than them. I'm just going to be real. Well, she did.
That's what I'm saying. How are we not getting that for Survivor Series, Bloodline versus Judgment Day?
I'd pay to see that. I really would.
in War Games?
Yeah, that would, I mean, that's the biggest War Games match they have. If we just get, you know, Judgment Day versus a Motley Crue like Cody and
a Motley Crue.
KO and Sammy and Jay.
Yeah, like that's just going to be like, okay.
I've seen this match for the last 5 months.
Yeah. Know. I mean, give us Bloodline. Like, that's the fight, man. That's what people, that's Avengers versus X-Men territory. That's what people want to see.
And to your point, Matt, I agree that they've done a great job with the Judgment Day as a group. They're just doing the same match every week. It's Sammy against one of them. And then Cody makes the save at the end, and there's a brawl.
Or that TJ, if they do win, TJ McDonough somehow gets in there and screws around, you know what I mean? And then his team wins somehow.
Why is McDonough, like, he just, like, he's the like, I can't even think of, like, I'm trying to think of, like, a dumb add-on. Like, he's the Cousin Oliver They're a Brady Bunch reference of the.
He's the Brandon Cutler of the Elite.
Yeah, it's like, why is this dude hanging out with them? Nobody likes JD McDonagh.
Okay, hear me out. Do you think when I first saw that, I was like, Second time I saw, I was like, okay, because this, when he first started, Rhea was white hot. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying she's not now, but she was really sizzling white hot at the time, and I was thinking like they're gonna have to make her baby face. They're cheering for her like crazy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, maybe that's what they're going to do. They're going to take her out of this group. Maybe they're just sliding this dude in the back door and there's moving everybody up in that in that group up one level, maybe. And Damian's the leader, or what's his name? Finn Balor's the leader, maybe. I don't know.
I mean, you know what would be amazing is if she turns face and then Dominic turns face. He's like, I've put my life of crime behind me. I'm now teaching, like, I'm going to prisons to teach inmates how to read. Like, he's doing, like, all this. Like, I was a bad person in the past, but now I'm on the straight and narrow. I found God. Like, it would be incredible. Like, a really obnoxious face turn from them.
So, all right. I still think he needs something. He needs another, like, what he did with what happened with him and his family in that storyline is what led to them booing him out of the building. That's what started it, right? Is him, like, grabbing his mom and the audience and, like, shaking her and the sister trying to smack him, but him catching it and, like, calling her stupid. Like, as silly as that sounds, being called stupid, like, it resonated. That audience wanted to kill him that night. Then it just built from there, where he needs another moment like that. I don't know what it would be, though, to get that kind of red hot heat again. He has it already. He does. He is the most in all of wrestling.
God, so Dylan Matthews saying put Finn and AJ and the Good Brothers together. I was just gonna say the OC now is so ice cold.
Yeah.
Wait, who? Oh, it is, but I like that idea. No, that'd be good. That idea.
But it's so, I mean, like, it's just so nothing right now.
Judgment Day kick Finn out. Everyone's expecting Damian Priest to leave, but you kick Finn out and reform that group. That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Survivor Series now, though, is like, 3 weeks away? I have no clue what to expect.
Yeah, they're doing War Games. So there's probably going to be 2 War Games matches. And I would guess Seth versus Drew again. Yeah.
But where's the brand? I mean, we need an invasion. We need like a brand, the red and the blue or something.
No, they've dropped all that. I know,
but that's the point. I mean, well, the last time they did it, when NXT was involved that year, that was an incredible pay-per-view. And that was separate than the year when Becky got bloodied up.
Yeah. Didn't NXT win that year? Like,
yeah, NXT won a lot matches that year. Yeah.
Yeah. They won the most, I think, on that show.
That was interesting. That was a good pay-per-view. And I remember that face. Was that the face-off they had with, Keith Lee and Brock Lesnar in the Battle Royal?
No, that was the Royal Rumble. Right, yeah.
Sorry. That was cool. So, see how WWE screwed up Keith Lee, though, once they brought him in? You had the whole audience chant for Keith Lee and that stare down with him and Brock Lesnar, and they ruined it.
They haven't done much with him in AEW either. Like, they had that feud with him and Swerve that started. Like, Swerve, like, put a brick through him, like, stomped a brick on him. And then it just got dropped completely.
So, I'm going to say this. I'm a huge Swerve fan now. I've been watching his stuff. Awesome. He's getting better and better. But, like, he's getting better on the mic, too. He's getting more confident. I also saw him. I don't know if you guys saw this, but you should have seen this because you live in Colorado. But did you see, like, Mark Henry? What's the tag team's name from AEW? Come on, most popular tag team. What's their name?
Young Bucks?
Trios champion.
Trios.
They got so many titles now.
Acclaimed. The
Acclaimed. The Acclaimed was there. Mark Henry was there. And so was Swerve Scott to go talk to the Colorado Buffalo college football team. It was their third week. And just to, you know, give them a pep talk and things like that. And Swerve sitting there just looking like the biggest star of the bunch, the way he was dressed. I was just like, everything about that kid just screams star. Like, he's never off. Like, the other guys were wearing, like, their pay-per-view t-shirts, like, that I probably would have, too, at the time, if I was still wrestling. But, like, he made sure that he was wearing, like, nothing but, like, jean jacket, jean pants, bandana. Like, he looked like a star. You thought he was a rapper. An athlete, like in this case, a pro wrestler. Like, he looked like a star.
Yeah,
and I just love everything he's doing.
Yeah, he carries himself like a star. He looks like a star. I mean, he's got it. Does. And I think they're doing a good job with him and Hangman. So
yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That's
I want to put it out there because we've got a really good live audience right now before we wrap. If anyone has any questions for us or anything, I mean, look, we appreciate everyone's support. Thank you, everyone who's subscribing, spreading the word. It's interesting doing this on our own versus when we used to do this through an established site. We've been building our audience slowly. But I have to say, like, this community that we've got, you guys that have followed us here, like, this has been so much fun doing this and getting to just hang out and hang out with you all every week, especially recording this live.
Yeah. Let me let's get a couple of these. Veggie Gamer is saying, I'm sure you have, but just checking, you have seen the original RoboCop, right? Yes, I have. We should do that one week and talk about how RoboCop saves Sting.
Okay, I'll talk about that, but.
Jason, so glad to see you guys back together. How many Degrassi references from Glenn have I missed?
It's funny. That was funny on the Wink podcast. I made an offhand reference to Degrassi once, and you were like, holy shit, I remember that from junior high and high school.
They made you watch it in health class.
Yeah. And it was just like, okay, now everybody write an essay answer. Like, what are you going to do to avoid teen pregnancy? It was like, look, teacher, I can't even figure out how to get a girl to go on a date with me. I'm not really worried about teen pregnancy right now.
I'm nowhere near this. Like, no,
this is nowhere near. In fact, could you tell me, teacher, like, what I should be doing here to maybe have teen pregnancy be something I have to worry about? You know?
Yeah.
Tom McClowski, question for Matt: do you like Theater of Pain?
Oh yeah, it's the second best Motley Crue album of all time.
Dr. Feelgood being the first.
Dr. Feelgood has to be.
Yeah. God, you posers! You posers! No, Too Fast for Love.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no, I take that back. Livewire, the first one.
Okay, really?
Just because it was the first one and nobody really knew who they were. Like I said earlier, like, you want to know that this is your band and nobody else knows them just yet. So when they came out with Smoking in the Boys' Room as their first like big video that came out for them, everyone then jumped on the bandwagon.
Dylan Matthew, two-parter for all three. Does WWE have a chance in getting Will Ospreay, and does CM Punk show up at Survivor Series?
I hope so. I do. I don't like how it ended for him with AEW. I'm still pissed about how that ended all around, obviously. With how it started and how it was such a feel-good moment for all of wrestling, not just AEW, and they somehow squandered it and it got all screwed up, right? So for his benefit, to put his own exclamation mark at his own pro wrestling career, I'd like to see him get one more time with WWE. So my answer is I'm hoping. You're right. And then Ospreay, I've heard him say in interviews he doesn't care if he goes there or not. A lot of people do say that until they do go there. AJ used to say it. I used to hear it all the time. Lots of stars that maybe didn't think they'd get there at one point or another in their career say that, because you have to say that because you're working for a different company at the time. You should say, yeah, AEW all the way, guys, or All Japan Wrestling all the way, New Japan, yeah. And shake your pom-poms because that's who's paying you. But I hope Ospreay gets there. He deserves and then some to get there. He is so damn good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see CM Punk showing up at Survivor Series. And I do think Ospreay ends up going to AEW. He just seems like the kind of guy that Tony will not let WWE sign. You can see they had him beat Jericho at All In. And
right.
I just don't see Tony letting Ospreay get away.
He's let frigging Cody Rhodes get away. Part of the damn founders of the company.
Yeah, but I think there was more to that with Ospreay. You know? I mean, only rumors, but you know, okay. Can't really say. But I mean, they both basically said that they're never going to talk about it, whatever happened. So, yeah.
Still a pretty big deal to let one of your four founding members of your damn company.
And you see him and you see Jade, and you know, WWE is really, you know, they're not like they're coming in from AEW, so we're going to bury them. They're like shooting them to the moon. So good for them.
Have I missed it yet? Has Jade done anything yet physically yet or no? Still no.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Good. She shouldn't be yet. Good.
And the CM Punk, man, like, it's the people keep talking about it so much. Who knows at this point? Beer Money wants to know any movies of the past 20 years based in the 80s that we enjoyed. Beer Money calling out the horror movie Totally Killer, which we recommended on this show, is a great one that's based in the 80s. Stranger Things does a really good job.
Okay.
If that counts. That.
I was going to say, I can't find one. In my head, I can't think of one that was nowadays or whatever that was set in the 80s, but Stranger Things is a good one.
The problem is, do you guys have this when you watch something? Like, I was watching the Goosebumps thing on Disney Plus and it's set in the 90s, and they'll play a song and I'll be like, this is supposed to be 1994. The song came out in 97. Like, yeah. I'm a cranky old man when it comes to that shit.
There's that show, I forget the name of it. It's like a murder, Cold Case. Cold Case has very good soundtrack. If they ever produce a soundtrack, I would buy it, because they always have all the hits from that year that so whatever person is on the show died, and they're trying to figure out who their killer was and go back and figure out this, really dust off the box of the cold case and try to dig back in and figure out who the murderer was. Anyways, they always go back in time with these little time warps, and they show, like, they'll have music playing in the background. It's never accurate to the year that it's supposed to be, and it drives me nuts.
Yeah.
What was that movie with Jake Gyllenhaal? There's the creepy rabbit costume in it.
Donnie Darko.
That was based in the 80s, right? Patrick Swayze was in it. It's older. I think that came out in the 90s, but I think that was a good one.
You know what I really like? There's a movie from 2015 called The Final Girls, and it takes place in modern day. It's actually similar to Totally Killer, but a girl's mom was an actress in a Friday the 13th-like movie, and she's able to travel into the movie in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So she finds herself, like, reconnecting with her mom as this character. It's a very good horror movie. I love the mix of, like, it's got a time travel element, but that was really good. I don't know. I mean, the problem is that you watch a lot of this stuff. I mean, it Chapter One had a very good, I think it captured the spirit of 89 pretty well when that came out. But yeah, it's tough to do. I think we're going to have it with a different lens because we lived through that. So you watch something like that and you're just like, oh, they got this wrong. They got this wrong. It's a little challenging.
Yeah.
Speaking of self-referential and traveling into movies, Bigfoot Sneakerhead wants to know, talk about the last action hero.
Time out. Let's slow down. We remember Bigfoot Sneakerhead. I've not talked to you forever. Hope you're doing good, man.
Yeah.
Sorry, Glenn, go ahead and ask you a question.
No, Last Action Hero is similar to what I was talking about with Final Girls. That's a really fun movie because it's that movie got so overshadowed by Jurassic Park. Like, nobody talks about Last Action Hero, but it's fun because a kid travels into a movie and is interacting with Arnold Schwarzenegger as this character, and he's trying to explain, like, no, this is a film. Like, there's a lot of really good jokes in the movie.
I don't remember that movie. I just remember Arnold being in it.
Yeah, I don't remember it either. I gotta rewatch that.
Yeah, I actually hadn't seen that movie till like 5 years ago, and I was like, oh, this was so ahead of its time. With just like making fun of things and poking, like Arnold poking fun at himself. It's a good movie. I highly recommend it.
Because it kind of bombed, right? Like, that Schwarzenegger was on a roll, and then that movie kind of, I don't know if it bombed, but it didn't do as well as it was expected.
Well, it didn't do what Jurassic Park did. Jurassic Park was like the biggest movie of all time for that summer. But it's true that, we don't have movies like Die Hard, Terminator, Rambo. Like, it's now most of the action movies have become direct to video. Or Netflix, that one with Chris Hemsworth, Extraction. Like, that's a big, bombastic action movie. I don't know. It's tough to capture that. Because I look at stuff like Cliffhanger or Die Hard, like the smart action movies. I feel like we don't get as many of those anymore. Or we get ones that are too smart, and it's like, I can't follow this. Like, the Mission Impossible movies, I can't tell you what happened in any Mission Impossible movie. It's too fucking complicated.
Or Tenet. I didn't know what was going on in that movie. All right.
Yeah.
Well, everyone, thanks for joining us in the chat. Yeah, you guys were great.
Did you guys all subscribe? That's the question. Did you all subscribe? Please tell your friends, post it on your social media if you can with the link, and tell everybody to please subscribe. You know how this works. We're all doing this because it's been a while since we've been able to do it. A lot of you guys have been asking about us, wanting to do a reunion show. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Thanks, Glenn. Reunion show. And so we decided to do this instead. And so far it's been a lot of fun. It's just three friends hanging out, BSing with one another, and talking about our childhoods, talking about pop culture, mainly pop culture, especially in our childhoods in the 80s, but also today's wrestling. So again, please tell a friend about this, and absolutely, positively, please subscribe.
Yeah, maybe and hit the like button. It really helps with the YouTube algorithm. Since we're a new show, any help with the algorithm, you know, really helps us out a lot. So
and leave a comment,
hit like, hit subscribe, leave a comment. We'll especially early in the week, we'll try to answer as many comments as we can. So please leave one, and we really appreciate it.
And soon we'll start doing a rewatch series where we rewatch old episodes of the Wrestling Inc. podcast and then talk about it. No, that'd be hilarious.
So you guys, what you guys get to see with this is like what me, Raj, and Glenn would be doing before we would start the wrestling podcast. You now get to see, you know,
right,
without any kind of what's the word? Raj is actually your filter.
Yeah, well, Raj was always the one like, let's bring your it back filter on topic, guys.
Yeah.
So yeah, Beer Money's asking every Sunday at 7 Eastern. So definitely, Thanks for checking us out.
And love your name. Most underrated tag team in history, Beer Money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll figure out what we're going to talk about next week. We'll announce it on social media. I don't know if you guys have anything that springs to mind.
You said Die Hard and Cliffhanger. I think both.
Yeah, we could talk about Die Hard and Cliffhanger. I mean, we could talk about Die Hard. Yeah. Cliffhangers, Die Hard on the Mountain.
Die Hard, should we wait until Christmas time?
Oh, yeah. You know, with the holidays and everything. Mm-hmm. I went to the Universal in Hollywood Friday, and the Super Mario World was like too much. It's like I can't hang out with this. They've got a new Nintendo Land. They're gonna open one in Florida too, but they've got this Mario Kart ride, and I've never felt like older, where just all these kids running around punching bricks and blocks with their like Mario wristbands, all these people cosplaying as Mario, and it just was like, this game is like 40 years old. I remember playing this, and it was just weird to see an entire land themed like Mario.
Time out. You can run around and punch bricks and stuff?
Yeah, if you buy the little wristband, it's like Harry Potter with the wand that you point at everything. Wristband and go around and hit stuff. They're going to open it as part of Epic Universe, the new park in Orlando. They're going to have an entire Nintendo Land that'll be bigger. But this was insane. It made me feel very old.
What park is it going to be at? Universal?
Well, they're opening a third one. So there's Universal Islands of Adventure. Yeah. And now they're opening Epic Universe. It's going to be part of that at Universal.
I didn't even know that. How'd you know
that? Yeah. Wow. I pay attention, man.
When were you having it here in Florida? Do you know?
I think Epic Universe opens in like the next year or so.
Damn. Let's see. That sounds cool.
Orlando. Yeah, dude. Like the Orlando theme parks are so much better than the summer 2025. So there you go.
Cool.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. Oh, yes. The Wizard with Fred Savage. It's like, I watched that on cable a couple weeks ago. It's so weird that I went to a movie because it was like, they're going to show part of Super Mario 3 in this movie. You're going to see Super Mario 3 early. Go see this movie with Fred Savage.
Yep.
Cool, guys. Well, we'll catch you back here next week on Gigantic Pop, everybody. Take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.